Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through His word today. Blessings.
I'm preaching today from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll begin with verse 10. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Some of us know what it's like to be crying out to the Lord in the night. But this is just the beginning of this story, and I want to share many other verses here as I go through the points that I want to share in this message. But I want you also to look down at what the prophet Samuel said to Saul down in verse 22, sort of the conclusion to this story. And then, as I said, I'll be filling in the different parts. But the prophet Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And then the prophet Samuel said to King Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Now, earlier in this chapter, God gave clear, unmistakable instructions to King Saul. There was no ambiguity whatsoever in the commandment that God gave to King Saul. It was Saul's duty. It was his obligation to attack and to annihilate God's enemies, the Amalekites. He was to utterly destroy them, all of them, the entire people, and all of their possessions were to be destroyed. Now, a lot of people have trouble with this because they say, how can a merciful, loving God, you know, you hear this argument, how could God allow for something like that to happen? Just to go in and to annihilate all the people, families, their livestock, everything. And of course, the simple answer for that, which most people don't accept, is that God is sovereign. God can kill anyone that He wants to kill. God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave Sodom and Gomorrah every chance. But there came a day when they were destroyed. And so here in this situation, the Amalekites, they were enemies of God and enemies of Israel. And they were a corrupting influence. It was sort of a situation for Israel, kill or be killed. But I want you to think about this. I want to give you a way of dealing with this type of thing when you look at this in the Old Testament. And here's what I want. I want you to see this as spiritual warfare. I want you to see this in terms of obedience. And what we find back in Genesis 3:15, God gave a promise of the seed that would come. Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be born. He was going to be the answer for the sin problem. He was going to be the Word made flesh, as we sang about this morning. He was going to come into the world to be born of a virgin. That was God's great plan from the beginning. And God wasn't going to allow anything to keep that plan from going forth. And thus, if you think about it in those terms, then you can begin to see that all of these conflicts in the Old Testament, all of it was Satan trying to keep the seed from coming forward. And so God gave this commandment to King Saul. And I'll let you think about that. And you're going to have to wrestle with that. There's some things you just have to wrestle with on your own. But I want to get to the problem here. Saul ended up doing something less than what God had commanded. And what we learn from this instance here in the Old Testament, and also in principles and precepts in the New Testament, is this. Whenever a problem is not dealt with decisively and thoroughly, it could become a greater problem. God was concerned about these Amalekites coming in and corrupting and perhaps annihilating Israel so the seed couldn't be born. And so that's what happens when a problem is not dealt with. God forbid that you should ever go to the doctor and the doctor should use the C word. You have cancer. Some of you have been there. Maybe you're there right now dealing with that. But when a person has cancer, the physicians and surgeons, they want to deal with that cancer decisively and aggressively. They try to remove it surgically, perhaps. Or they bombard it with chemo and radiation. But the intent and the goal is to eradicate those cancer cells from the body. When a person has cancer, there's a war going on in the body. And a person that has cancer, that person will either kill the cancer or the cancer is going to kill them. And what I'm saying to you today, the same is true concerning sin. Look at this. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. You see, what the Amalekites were to Israel, sin is to us. Sin is the enemy. We're at war. There's a spiritual warfare taking place. Sin is the enemy that corrupts and destroys and tries to keep us from fulfilling God's will for our lives, God's plan and purpose. It's an all-out war. Either we are victorious over sin by the power of the blood and by the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, or sin will be victorious over us. So that's the battle that we're in today. Saul made the wrong decision. And it was costly. There are always consequences when we make wrong decisions. How do you know when you're making the wrong decision? Number one, when you have to defend what you're doing as acceptable to God. That's what Saul did. That's what Saul was trying to do. Samuel reiterates to Saul exactly what God said, but Saul tries to defend himself. He says, I have obeyed. I did go on the mission. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. You say, Pastor, did Saul do everything wrong? No. Saul did not do everything wrong, but that's not the point. He didn't do everything right, and 75% wrong or right cannot justify 25% wrong. And that's the problem. Partial obedience is not obedience. This is the age-old problem of disobedience. Disobedience involves what we do and what we fail to do. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. God has given us many, many, many commandments. Love your neighbor. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do not be conformed to this world. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Do not bear false witness. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. All these commandments that he gives us. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. Same thing that happened at the very beginning when the serpent came into the garden. Did God really say? See, do we try to make things acceptable to God? Did God really mean that when he said what he said, when he laid down the commandment? Did he mean it? I need to move on here. How do you know when you're making the wrong decision? Number two, when you share responsibility of your actions with others. There's something about human nature. And I'm not saying that this is wrong. There's nothing wrong with this. But here's the human nature. When we do something good, and we know it's good, it's not a question of right or wrong. We know we've obeyed the Lord. We've done something good. We've done some kind of act that's really good. You know what? We as human beings, we embrace it for all it's worth. We're not going to share the responsibility of that with others. No, we embrace it. We own it. But when we make a bad decision, oh, how quick we are to share the responsibility, the results of our sin and failure with others. That's what the problem is in this world. Everybody's a victim. There's always someone to blame. Isn't that right? And here, look at this. Verse 21. I told you I was going to come back to this. But the people took the plunder. Okay, Saul. King Saul, God gave you the commandment, not the people. You're the king. You've sinned. You've failed. And now you're trying to share that responsibility with someone else. The people took the plunder. Sheep and oxen, the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Blame casting, hear me today. Blame casting is a dead giveaway for a wrong decision. And this is what Adam and Eve did. They tried to share the responsibility of their sin and failure. Adam blamed God. And he blamed his wife. Lord, it's this woman you gave me on this Father's Day. Men, don't blame everything on your wife. But that's what Adam did. And then Eve blamed the serpent. And I can't even talk about this with telling the same joke over and over again. The serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. I told you I wasn't going to do that. But ever since then, there's been the blame game instead of taking responsibility. My wife has more positive qualities than I could possibly enumerate here. But, she is not the best co-pilot in the car when we're driving. And sometimes I get upset because I'll take a wrong turn or take the wrong exit and I start to blame her. Why weren't you listening to the GPS, or why weren't you following where we were going, and so forth. But here's the bottom line. My hands are on that steering wheel. My foot's on the gas. I'm in control of that car. So if I leave my wife at the rest area, I have no one to blame but myself. Now, before I make this any worse, like I did last Sunday morning, we'll just move on here. How do you know when you've made the wrong decision? Number three, when you give God something He didn't ask for instead of giving Him the obedience that He requires. In verse 21, Saul, he tried this. He said, we took the best things to sacrifice, as if that made any difference. And here's Samuel's response. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Please hear me today. Nothing can take the place of obedience. When the people in the Old Testament, when they worshiped, they brought their sacrifices to worship, but it wasn't their sacrifices that made the worship. It was obedience to God's command to bring the sacrifices. And what I'm saying to you today, Christian, is your obedience out there as a follower of Jesus Christ is what makes your worship what it is in here. Are you with me? So coming to church, put in your sacrifice. Okay, here comes the offering plate, which is great. It's great to give unto the Lord. You put in your offering, but that is no substitute for obedience to God's commandments. God is not after your sacrifice. He's after you. Please hear me today. God told Abraham, take your only son Isaac, that son that he waited for all those years, take him to Mount Moriah, offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham, he could have lined up 100 spotless lambs and taking all day to kill them one by one and to shed their blood on that altar, and it would have meant nothing because God told him to put his son on the altar in obedience. And so, have you put your Isaac on the altar? This serious question I'm asking you today. I hope we have God minister at the end of this service for our church and for all of us. Have you put your Isaac on the altar? Have you put your life on the altar? Here's my final point in this message today. How do you know when you're making a bad decision? When you're more concerned about earthly consequences than spiritual consequences. And this is where Saul got into trouble. This is where most people get into trouble. This is where preachers get into trouble. Listening to popular opinion. Listening to the voices of man. Peter and John, they said, we must obey God rather than man. Amen. Then Saul said to Samuel, Jordan, why don't you come on up and as I'm reading this, and we'll get ready for the closing. You can just play for us. In a moment, we're going to be singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And if you haven't decided, I'm talking seriously, if you haven't decided that, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm going to be obedient to Him, then I'm going to invite you to come. But look at this. Please stay with me here. Don't miss this. This is critical to the life of First Baptist Church. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I want to tell you today, I believe this with all my heart. God is calling the church to repent of hearing and obeying other voices. Folks, hear me, please. I'm going to be done here in just a moment. We need to hear. We need to obey His voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." In the Corinthian church, there was division. They said, some said, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. We're not doing that here. Listen to me. We're not doing that here in this church. We're going to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and hear His voice. And that is how we, according to Ephesians 4:3, that's how we maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.